There's certain traditions that I think really matter, and one is that every now and then we have a barn concert. And so the proprietor of the barn, Alicia Milkey. Hello, Alicia.
Hi, Vern.
Welcome. The barn, which is a lovely space outside of Harrington, Washington, and Harrington is, how do you describe to people where Harrington is, Alicia?
It's about 60 miles west of Spokane, and most people are more familiar with Davenport and Ritzville as the town, so I usually describe that it's about halfway between Davenport and Ritzville.
I think it's more fun to say it's north of Tokyo.
Yes.
Okay. And so that's where you grew up, and that's where you have returned, and we'll get into those subjects in a little bit. But describe the lovely barn that your dad built and its dual purpose.
Yes, it was originally designed, not only to perhaps hold animals on the bottom floor, but thinking of a good, workable barn and usable barn to have a second floor is usually a hayloft. But he had two daughters, one that played basketball and one that was interested in music. And so he made the size of the barn big enough for a full regulation half court for a basketball. And so we have a basketball hoop in there and a nice court to play basketball on once I guess we finish playing flute and piano. Mm-hmm. And I went up there and it's got these big, huge, tall ceilings and rafters, and it's just amazing acoustics. And so we decided that'd be an excellent place to not only, play basketball, but to have some music concerts in there. So really lovely, beautiful live space. And kind of our only challenge is to get a piano up to the second floor, because of course the performance space is on the second floor and not the first. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of fun this year. We moved our own piano up there with a lot of ingenuity and help from farmers knowing how to put things together. So it's a great space.
That completely describes farmers, doesn't it?
Yes.
Knowing how to put things together.
Yeah. I said, Dad, we have to get a piano up to the second floor. He goes, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And,
if need be,
research later and using tools, and it was a lot of fun.
Or they'll just go off and build a machine to do it.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. He installed a few new things and was out there measuring. And I said, are you sure this is going to work? And he goes, yeah, it'll totally work. And I said, are you sure it's going to work? It's not, you're not moving a piece of equipment. It's a, lovely, Steinway instrument. And he goes, oh, no, it's fine. It just moves like anything else. I said, all right. So.
I'm going to guess it was your imaginative mother that came up with the name of the performance space, or not?
Was kind of a combination. So one of the reasons why it's Fair Play, we call it Fair Play Concert Hall, is there's an old scoreboard from the Harrington Gymnasium that they used back in my parents' day, and that the brand of the scoreboard is Fair Play.
Oh.
And so they found that when they were cleaning out the school and were digging back in back corners and found the scoreboard that they were just going to throw away. And again, my dad being, loving old things and fixing things up, he goes, well, I can order new light bulbs and do all the wiring and fix everything up. And so we've got this scoreboard, and a lot of times we'll count down the intermission on the Fair Play scoreboard. But I, still from my days of watching my sister play basketball, I about half of the time we'll call intermission halftime instead of intermission. So at halftime we run the score clock.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've loved that name, Fair Play. It says about five things.
Yes.
At once. And
so great. And then we had our lovely local artist neighbor, artist and farmer, designed kind of a logo with the, Fair Play
LePere.
Concert. Yes, Les LePere. And so he designed kind of one of my favorite images of, it's a music note, say an eighth note, that's kind of half a basketball and half a music note. And then the, stem of the eighth note is a green wheat leaf. So it kind of combines all the elements of, farming, music, and sports.
There's Les LePere. There's Louise Cotis, the artist, whom we just had on the Arts Calendar yesterday. What is it out there that makes imaginative people live out on the prairie?
Well, I like to think a lot of the sitting on the tractor, you start to think and you get ideas, and there's a lot of hours to brainstorm and think of great things. But it's also, it's hard to imagine, and I've tried to captured in photos and videos to share with people, but it's when you're farming and out in that area, you get to see every single season, and especially when you're on the tractor, you see from, you know, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. what the clouds are doing, what the weather is doing and changing, and the different angles of light through the different seasons. And it really gives you a unique opportunity that you wouldn't even have, say, in Spokane, either at a desk job or anything like that, to just see every season and kind of every hour and every minute of the season. And it's just really inspiring to see all those changes and the different colors and different temperatures and just different feels of this area.
Alicia Mielke, who is giving a recital, but she's not doing it by herself. You're getting the band back together, you might
yes.
say. Kevin Garnica, the pianist that you discovered each other at the University of Texas oh so many years ago.
Yes, we were put together with the collaborative piano department where Kevin was starting his doctorate degree. With our flute studio, we sort of had a little bit of a monopoly yeah. of the great, all the great pianists that were in the collaborative studio. And so Kevin and I worked together some there, and then is quote unquote close enough, being on the West Coast in the LA area, to be easy to convince to come up to the farm to play with me.
Well, welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you. Nice
let's
to be back.
Kind of jump in here. Where you could talk about your current job?
My current job?
Yeah.
I'm currently the staff pianist at Cal Poly Pomona down in Southern California, where my duties run anywhere from coaching the music students to just be better musicians, both instrumental and vocal students, as well as accompanying all the choirs there. So, and if any of the other faculty need me for other reasons, then I jump in on that as well. So I'm kind of a facilitator for all things manner of performances and such. Mm. So, yeah.
And just to embarrass her in front of her, what's the joy of playing with Alicia?
Where do I begin? Let's see. well, for one, she's very easy to work with. Mm-hmm. That's always, you know, a nice
yeah.
thing. We tend to have very similar thoughts about how we think about music and what we want to say about it. I appreciate the fact that she's very much her own artist and has solid ideas about what she wants to communicate to her audience. And aside from all that, she's pretty much an awesome person all around.
Yeah, certainly is.
Yeah.
We're going to see. We're going to make you guys prove some of what just got said in a moment. What are you going to play?
We're going to play the first movement of the Taktakishvili Sonata.
Good. Well, let's send you out to the studio. Take your time, and then we'll get you back on from the studio to hear this music. This is flutist Alicia Mielke and pianist Kevin Garnica, and they're playing this pair of recitals tonight. We'll get times and exact directions for you, but tonight and then tomorrow afternoon at the Fair Play Arena, this side of Harrington, a little north of Ritzville, a little south of Davenport. So let's go to our studio and hear the flutist and the pianist play this music. Thank you. First movement of the Flute Sonata by Tukdashvili, played for us in our studio by Alicia Melky, the flutist, and Kevin Garnica, the pianist. Live performance, just the way we like it. And so thank you very much, the two of you, for coming in on that. Let's talk a little bit about the range of the program you're going to play from either of you's point of view. I assume to some extent because you're doing it on limited rehearsal time, you're playing a few pieces that you've played together before.
Yes, we have played quite a few of these before, either from various or each of us has played it, maybe not together.
Sure.
And I kind of thought it was right after Thanksgiving, kind of into the holiday season, I figured I want to play pieces I really want to play, not mm-hmm. kind of the, oh, well, you need to play a, you know, big, heavy, you know, flute piece that shows a lot of technical prowess and all of that. And so we kind of decided we wanted all fun music. So we have Poulenc Sonata, which, of course, is one of flutist's mm-hmm. favorites mm-hmm. and really has a lot of that kind of duo writing. We were kind of talking last night during rehearsal. It just goes in and out and in and out between who has the melody and who has the mm-hmm. lead. And that's really fun as a collaborative duo. And I think it's also fun for the audience and not just, oh, I should only listen to the flute player.
Yeah.
Yeah, you appreciate that, don't you, Kevin?
Yeah. Sure, sure, yeah. 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 We've done the Poulenc before, and mm-hmm. we've done the one we just did before. So some of it is being brought back lovingly. Mm-hmm. One thing that's new for us is the Ibert, the Jo. That's a new piece mm-hmm. for both of us together. I've played it before, but mm-hmm. it's new to her, so it'll be fun to put that out into the world for the first time.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then Sonkan, Sonatine.
The what?
Sonkan.
Who's
Sonatine?
That?
French composer. I think when I was kind of looking up, this is sort of one of the pieces that he's kind of known for, because mm-hmm. I don't know that much of his other music is played. But for flutists, it's this very kind of very French kind of. It's really interesting because we're playing it right after the Ibert to kind of see the similarities with that. And it's fun, it's lyrical, it has a lot of different textures to it, a few little cadenzas. Mm-hmm. And so that one's really fun and energetic.
It's also new for us, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, together.
Yeah, yeah, together.
We played it. And then Carmen Fantasy to end.
Oh, yeah,
who doesn't want to hear the Carmen Fantasy?
A showstopper, right?
Oh, yeah. And go off stage and come back with a red dress or whatever, whatever isn't required for that. I want to go back to a comment you made, because I remember the very moment, I think, when I came here to start my professional career, when I suddenly figured out I'm no longer in music school. I don't have to pick pieces that are slightly too hard for me, that are designed to impress anybody, mm-hmm. or any of that stuff. We can just play music.
Yes, mm-hmm. and that's, I think I don't know that I'm finally at that point, but it's that, you know, you always have to consider your audience too as you're thinking of music. And so while we have played some of this before, maybe people have heard it before that have come to barn concerts, I figured, well, symphonies play, you know, Beethoven all the time. Why can't I play some of my fun things again? Especially with the flute repertoire being mm-hmm. limited, just as far as how much is out there, it is nice to be able to repeat things after mm-hmm. several years and just enjoy music and you know, even coming back to these pieces, being older and hopefully wiser, to just add different touches to it and have things that are either more meaningful or more fun at a specific time in your life, and easier versus harder technically, based on what you've been playing. And so, yeah, I think we had a totally different program picked out for this. And
we did. Yeah, we had a different program over the summer, and then we changed it.
Yeah, we kind of, it was about a month before, and we're like, yeah, we don't really want to do that for this concert. So,
not that there's anything wrong with those other pieces, but we decided to just, like you said, do music that we really loved mm-hmm. doing and didn't feel sort of, you know, like our hands were tied to the notion that, oh, you have to have like a Baroque piece and a classical piece and run through the whole, you know, history books in a way. So this is nice for us.
The concert times?
Tonight at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. and then Saturday at 2 p.m.
At 2 p.m. Now, what's the easy to remember for a radio listener way to remember a website or an email address or something by which they can find out how in the world to get there?
Sure. So the easiest is to email any questions you might have for directions or times is barnconcert@gmail.com.
Well, that's
so
easy.
So singular, barnconcert@gmail.com.
At gmail.com. And then you can find out. That's much easier than us trying to describe mm-hmm. how to get there on the radio. So let's leave it to that. One other thing I want to spend time with, and that is the decision. And so I'm going to do a little bit of Alicia Milky, This Is Your Life. You were you were in the youth orchestra, and then you ran off and went to the Interlochen Arts Academy, and then you went to the University of Texas, and then you went and did master's work at New England Conservatory. Then you got this great job working as a concert manager for an art gallery there, and then decided to come home and farm. So talk about that, what went on, and your values that made you do that.
I think certainly with school, you always have a summer break, and so I had been, of course, coming home every summer and working on the farm. So it was kind of this constant, every year I would come home, not only to visit family, but to work on the farm and kind of have that connection, and certainly enjoyed that work and that lifestyle, of course, growing up in this area. But even when I was working at the museum, because our concert season was essentially a school calendar year, it was September through May, I was actually able to come home still in the summer and work harvest. And so even when I was, quote unquote, in a real job, I was able to come home and still, you know, work for the museum, but also be home. And so I kind of, I always kept that. So it was always so fresh in my mind as far as this is a really great lifestyle. It's a great place to work and kind of just, again, breathe that fresh air, see all the changing seasons. And so I worked at the Gardner for 4 years, and it's a great place to work, and I learned so much between how a museum works and, you know, what arts administration is and what it takes to, you know, work with a bunch of different people within a museum setting. And then I kind of got to thinking, I don't know if it was a quarter life crisis or not, but kind of, well, what do I want to do with my life? You know, is this something I want to pursue? Do I need to get a different, you know, get an arts administration degree? How long do I need to work? And so I kind of thought, well, I never really intended to work in arts administration. You know, performance was definitely my main goal. And so I thought, well, you know, I always can go back to the farm and work and really have that lifestyle that I like. And I loved Boston as a city, but I'm much more happy, you know, waking up in the middle of nowhere and not seeing any people. And so that was definitely more part of my lifestyle. And so being able to have a job that was basically that lifestyle was pretty amazing, to be able to come back and work with my parents. So it ended up being a good time for me and a good time for my parents and the farm to have an extra person. So it all just kind of worked out, and I've been really happy just being able to work with my parents, learn. I mean, even though I grew up on the farm, you learn all the intricacies of, you know, when to do this and how to do this. And it's so much more complicated than I think most people understand.
They used to make it look easy, didn't they?
Yeah, they do. And now you could even argue that it is easier because we have, you know, satellite guidance to drive our tractors. And there's a lot more help and assistance. But what I kind of like to think about that is it's made it easier for people that are, let's say, smaller stature and not as strong. Mm-hmm. That doesn't typically have to mean female. But I can do a lot more on the farm than if I were having to do a lot of the more manual labor that used to be, you know, just very common. So the upgrades in technology have really made farming accessible to a lot more people. But of course, I have excellent teachers on how to be a good farmer. And so it's just been really nice. And I've been able to still play. And now that I'm home, I have obviously all the access I want to the barn. So hoping to be able to do some more concerts. I'm bringing back another one of my fabulous collaborators in the end of January. She's from Shanghai and is teaching there. And she goes, but I want to come to the farm. And I was like, okay, you're coming. You know, so it's a little easier to twist Kevin's arm from L.A. But so she's, you know, so I think that something about the farm and that lifestyle just resonates with some people. And so I'm really excited to have her back. And so I'm hoping to, you know, bring a couple people in. I know one of my friends is playing with the Spokane Symphony as a concerto soloist in March. So I'm hoping to have him out. So now that I'm back on the farm and hoping to do a little bit more of the barn concerts and been able to play with a Spokane Symphony for substitute performances when I need to. So it's a good area to be back for the lifestyle and also to continue music.
Isn't it kind of wonderful and fun that that suddenly the farm is exotic and romantic to others?
Oh, it's amazing. You kind of, and it's so much fun to meet because you get these people and their eyes go, you know, wide, and they go, "You're from a farm and you work on a farm," and you know, it's exciting for me. It's a little sad to me because even one generation ago, so many people would have known more farmers and they would have been their neighbors or their friends or they would have worked on a farm. And so, yeah, you're kind of like this exotic animal now that's like, ooh, a farmer. So I'm really hoping, and with social media, I think a lot of people are being able to see it more. So I have all these people in Boston now that are just, you know, saying, send more pictures of the farm. And I'm saying, well, why? Do you want to just keep seeing pictures of wheat fields? They're like, yes, of course we do. So it's been really neat to be able to share that with people and to kind of explain a little bit about what we do. And then also for me to say, well, there's so many other types of farming and ways of farming that, you know, hopefully this spurs you to check out new methods and just be a little bit more aware of like where your food comes from. Because, you know, I grow some food. You might not necessarily ever eat the food that I grow. But it just kind of that one personal connection of someone being able to say, well, I know a farmer and she told me this one fact. And, you know, to be able to give people that knowledge, I think is really fun. And, you know, in the same token, many people in this area, and especially in, you know, my area of Harrington, haven't had a lot of exposure to classical music. And so then I kind of feel like I'm bringing that, you know, exotic animal back to the farm and saying, hey, look, classical music, and it's fun. And so I kind of get to do both roles, which is really fun for me.
Alicia Mielke, who with Kevin Garnica is performing tonight at 7, tomorrow at 2 at the Fair Play Concert Arena. And and once again, it's barnconcert@gmail.com to simply email that to that address, say that you're interested in coming, so that they would know that, and then they can give you directions and deal with all that. What a treat. Thank you. Thank you for coming around, for playing with us. Thank you for coming back, Kevin.